This morning, we're going to turn to the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to probably take a couple of weeks and kind of pull away from the principles and we're teaching in the book of Judges. I'm going to go to the book of Ezekiel, for 38th chapter, for just a little while here and give you some information. There is just a lot of things going on in this old world today, and I mean they're moving fast. And we don't know what the near future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that as you look around this old world, things are coming very fast, moving very fast, to where you see a lot of the end time things just coming at us. And what I want to do this morning, there's going to be somewhere in the future a coalition of nations that is going to attack Israel. I think if you're familiar with the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, you're familiar with that. They come down from the north, and they're going to attack Israel. And I just happen to believe that most of those nations that's going to be involved in this is being kind of aligned now. Russia's going to be the leader. He's the one that's going to take the leadership and bring all of these with her down toward Israel and attack her. That's in the 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Now, if you will look at these, and I believe probably I can say just about all of these nations, and it's hard to pinpoint all that's named, but he also mentions the fact that there's a lot of other many people with him, others just than the ones that was named. But I believe that just about every one of them is an Islamic nation. They're Muslim people. They hate Israel. They hate her. And I just want to give you some information. A lot of this statistics that I will give you today, I'm going to read much of it to you, but some of it is out of a book by Ron Rhodes, which wrote the Rising Storm, the Rising Northern Storm, and other places that I've obtained it. But I think it's information that you need to know, because there is happening in this old world today. These things are moving fast, and we need to understand this Islam thing, this Muslim thing, is no joke. And it's serious, serious business. And so they not only hate Israel, but they hate the United States of America. And the reason they hate America especially is because we've always protected Israel. And their whole goal basically is to wipe Israel off the map. I think I'm sure you have the understanding, you're spiritual enough to understand that that hatred comes from Satan, because Satan hates Israel, God's people. And so it's important we understand this thing is moving very, very quickly. But I want to just give you some information. Hope it'll be helpful to you, and it's in relation to Ezekiel 38 and 39. We'll probably, the next time we meet, we'll probably go over that portion of Scripture, not in just detail, because there's so much there, but we will go over it and kind of look at what that battle entails, because it's really a massive, massive battle. But anyway, the word Islam means submission to the will of Allah. That's what the word means. Now, you've heard of Allah. That's the false god of the Muslims. And that means, the word Islam means we are in submission to Allah. The word Muslim means those who submit. If they're a Muslim, then they are submitting to Allah, their God. In fact, the word Muslim expresses the inner attitude of those who follow Muhammad's teaching and convey a perpetual and ongoing submission to Allah. This is not something just offhand. It's a life of submission to Allah, their false God. Now, I want to give you some statistics here. Islam is presently the world's second largest religion. Christianity is the largest. Now, when I say Christianity is the largest, you understand that means all that's under the banner of Christianity. That includes Catholics. Okay? But Islam is the second largest religion in the world. Mammoth amount of people. Now, more than 65 nations in the world are Islamic. 65. Now, Muslims constitute about 85% of the population of 32 countries. Not only that, in the past 50 years, the Muslim population in Western Europe has grown from about 250,000 to nearly 20 million in the last 50 years in Western Europe. Also, the Muslim population of Europe will double by the year 2020 and will double yet again by 2035. By that time, the majority of young people in most European cities will be Muslims. There are more Muslims than Methodists and Baptists combined in the United Kingdom. Though there was only one mosque in England in 1945, there was only one mosque, there are now thousands. Hundreds of the buildings currently used for mosques were originally churches, including the church that sent well-known Christian missionary William Carey to India. Over in England, they have went so far away from God, thousands of mosques, thousands and upon thousands, probably millions of Muslims in England. The churches that used to preach the word of God in England, and they was on fire. They taught Christ. Most of those churches, many of those churches, are now Muslim mosques. It's amazing. More than 100 million Muslims live in India. The number of Islamic mosques in France mushroomed from only one in 1974, that isn't very long ago, to thousands today. Muslims constitute a majority in 45 African and Asian countries. China, I was a little bit surprised at this, but China has over 100 million Muslims. More than 180 million Muslims live in Indonesia. You're probably familiar with the fact that Indonesia is the largest, when I say largest, the amount of Muslims in any country. They have the most in any one country, and they have 180 Muslims in the country of Indonesia. Listen to this. Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries are currently donating multiple tens of millions of dollars to the furtherance of Islam in the United States of America. And it is growing large in America. Mosques all over America is being planted. What I'm simply saying to you is that this thing is not just the plaything. It is serious business. In fact, you see, the Muslims believe, because they are so large, surely they must be the right religion or God would not have blessed them so. Let me just give you something about Mohammed's movement, which was the leader of this, the head of this. Mohammed's movement eventually took on the character of religious militarism. He transformed his followers into fanatical fighters by teaching them that if they died fighting Allah's cause, they would be instantly admitted to paradise. You've heard that. But that's the way they get them to go, and we sometimes wonder how could a person go and blow himself up and blow hundreds of them up with himself. Well, that's the reason. They really believe that if they die in battle like that or offering themselves, they will immediately be put in paradise, immediately, and other things also be added to that. Also, the Shiites have long believed in the eventual return of the 12th Imam, believed to be a direct bloodline descendant of Muhammad's son-in-law, Ali, whose family, it is believed, constitutes the only legitimate successor to Muhammad. The 12th Imam, who allegedly disappeared as a child in A.D. 941, will allegedly return in the future as the Mahdi, which simply means the rightly guided one. And just listen to this because it's so interesting. Who will bring about messianic-like era of global order and justice for Shiites in which Islam will be victorious. Significantly, the appearance of the 12th Imam can supposedly be hastened through the chaos and violence by unleashing a holy war against Christians and Jews. And they believe, see, they have what they call their Messiah. And they are looking for him. They expect him any time. In fact, the leader of Iran has even made a statement. He thinks he will be there within a couple years. He will appear. And the thing that's going to bring this supposedly whatever he is back is... The only thing that's going to hasten that and get him to come back is the destruction of Israel. See, that's what they believe. They must destroy Israel. That's why when you hear them talk about wiping Israel off the map, pushing Israel out into the sea, they're serious because they believe that their Messiah, or if that's what you want to call him, is not going to come back till Israel is destroyed. And not only that, that America is also to the place where she can no longer function and help Israel. So that's their goals. They have to get rid of Israel, and they have to destroy to the best of their ability the United States of America. Okay? And I guess I just want you to understand this thing is a serious business, and they mean business. And that's why leader of Iran, he said, if Israel or the United States of America would attack them, they would immediately release cells which they have set up all over the world, including United States, and they would turn them loose to attack in the United States or any place else there was Americans. Now, I don't how much they've got set up, but I'm sure they probably do have set up. And they said that's their defense. If there'd be attacked, they would immediately be people all over the world that would begin to attack Americans, and even, of course, in the United States of America. Anyway, this messianic person, they're looking for him to come, and in fact, this leader of Iran, he apparently informed his cabinet that just a few more years Time would bring about the appearance of this 12th Iman. He makes his bold claim because of his own intention to play the critical role in ousting the Jews from Israel. And also the destruction of Israel is one of the key global developments that will trigger the appearance of this Maldai. And of course it says he seeks to wipe Israel off the map. You see, that's why when they talk about the nuclear weapons that Iran is developing, and they know they are developing it. And I don't know whether you noticed, I think it was yesterday, the day before, they've turned down the plan that was to send all of their enriched uranium, or they would have it enriched over in Russia and then bring it back, make sure it was not enriched to weapons grade. I don't have a deep understanding of all that. But now they've turned that down. Of course they've turned it down. They want a nuclear bomb. And they want a nuclear bomb to destroy Israel. And if you think, and I would think one moment they would hesitate to use it if they had it, we're just mistaken. They would, because they believe that's going to bring back their Messiah. See, they get rid of Israel. Of course, it's satanic. We understand that. It's all satanic. But I guess I want you to understand, too, America is at risk. We in America are at risk. And you say, well, Brother Ross, what's that? Well, I tell you what it tells me. It tells me we better get busy getting everybody saved we can get saved. That's the plan of God for us. He has not promised us a great world to live in with all the wickedness going on, but he's told us to be busy about what we're supposed to be doing. And we need to do everything we can to get out there and knock on doors and talk to people and do our best to reach our families for Christ and get them ready for these terrible times that we live in. We've got to do it. And, of course, that's the church's work, and that's our work, you see, because those terrible days are coming. Now, it says this leader of Iran is convinced that a world without America and Zionism is obtainable. And once obtained, the 12th Iman will return. He is sure that humanity will soon know what it is to live, what it is like to live in a world free of Israel and America. He is assured that the United States and Zionism regimes of Israel will soon come to the end of their lives. In fact, in a parade that they had over there not too long back during a military parade, this leader had a banner proclaiming death to America draped over one of their long-range missiles in this parade. And that was the big banner across that missile, was death to America. You see, they hate America. And again, when you come down to it, where is most of the gospel come from? Most of it. It comes from America and goes out from here. What are we supporting? Around 50 missionaries and something like that, I think, about 50 missionaries. You know, and churches all over this country are sending missionaries out. Not enough, but they're sending missionaries. And so Satan hates America along with Israel. And so I think this should kind of encourage us that we've got to be busy on a daily basis. I believe in being a witness, but I believe in being a daily witness. I don't think it just happens on Saturday morning or Thursday night or any other time. I believe it's a daily thing that God wants us to do, to be busy about getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And I think these things help awaken us to the fact that the time is very, very near. And anyway, let's see. At the United Nations, this leader of Iran, he concluded his speech by invoking the soon arrival of this Islamic Messiah. And then he prayed, "O mighty Lord, I pray to you to hasten the emergence of the promised one, that perfect and pure human being, the one that will fill this world with justice and peace." You see, they're looking for this, of course. We know who the true Messiah is. We know it's Lord Jesus, and we're looking for him to come. But anymore, let's see here. It says radical Islam is growing at a global level, and no one can afford to ignore it. He said, he notes that 13% of British Muslims approve of terrorism, and 1%, amounting to 16,000 Muslims, this is in Britain here, said they had engaged in terrorist activity at home or abroad. 25% of the German Muslim school students openly claim they are prepared to use violence on behalf of Islam. You ever hear that Islam is a peaceful religion and a peaceful people? They are not. They're out to destroy and certainly want to get rid of America. Now, just real quickly, I'll try to read this to you. In 1998, five Muslim governments, that's been, 11 years ago, says representing five radical Muslim factions signed in a declaration declaring a holy war against the United States of America. Now, here's what it said somewhat. For over 7 years, the United States has been occupying the lands of Islam and the holiest of places, the Arabian Peninsula, plundering its riches, dictating to its rulers, humiliating its people, terrorizing its neighbors, and turning its bases in the peninsula into a spearhead through which to fight the neighboring Muslim people. There has been aggression against the Iraqi people. Their aim has been to serve the Jews' petty state. They express ignorance to destroy Iraq. All their crimes and sins committed by the Americans are a clear declaration of war on Allah, His messengers, and Muslims. The ruling to kill the Americans and their allies, civilians and military, is an individual duty for every Muslim who can do it in a country in which it is possible to do it. This is in accordance with the words of Almighty Allah, the fight the pagans altogether as they fight you altogether, and fight them until there is no more tumult or oppression, and there prevail justice and faith in Allah. In Ezekiel 38, the first six verses is listed a coalition of nations that is going to come down and try and do its best to destroy Israel. Now, I know something. I know because I believe the Bible. You do too. It isn't going to work, and they're not going to win. But that battle is going to be a horrendous thing. Terrible thing. Multitudes and multitudes are going to die on the hills of Israel. This coalition of nations, I can't even really imagine, because when it talks about the weaponry that is going to be burnt for 7 years, I can't even imagine that. We'll talk about that maybe the next time we meet, but 7 years, the massive amount of weaponry that's going to be brought in trying to destroy Israel, the massive amount of people that's going to come in this army is absolutely massive, because he keeps even speaking about many people, and he says that over and over, that's going to become. But I want to, in verse 1 of chapter 38, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now again, I have read, I would not want to say how many commentaries on all of these nations, and most of them differ somewhat. And they have to come down to the place that they don't know for sure. Some of them, though, is well known. There is not much doubt whatsoever when he talks about Gog and Magog. Gog is the leader, I believe, of Magog, which is Russia. I don't think there's any doubt because they come out of the north. And whoever the leader of Russia at that time is going to be the one that leads all of this group of nations. And he says, he said here that he set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaw, and will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. He mentions Persia. There's no doubt in whatsoever who Persia is. Persia used to be called, it used to be called Persian, and changed their name to Iran. That's who it is. And so Iran, when I say this, that's why I wanted to bring to you some of that information about Iran and about the Muslim people. Iran is going to join with Russia, and even now there's an alignment of Iran and Russia, a tight alignment. Russia is the one that's building the nuclear reactor for them in Iran, which they say they're going to use, and I suppose maybe they will, for electricity, for power. But Russia is closely connected with Iran. And then it says Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a country that's just south of Egypt. And also Libya. Now, Libya is a country today, but the modern Libya, the Bible Libya was much larger than it is today. So when it says Libya, it may mean not just the Libya today, but also some of the countries that is around Libya that's going to come with them. And then all of them with shields and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah, of the north quarters and all his bands and many people with him. Gomer, there's a difference of opinion on who that is. Some think that may be Germany. I don't know personally. I think since it's connected with Togarmah, which we're sure is Turkey, I think probably it's some the nations around Turkey, some of the lands around Turkey. But there's no doubt that Turkey is going to come with Iran and Russia when they come down against Israel. And then, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. So in other words, we've got all of these countries that has been mentioned are Muslim countries. It's one of the reasons I wanted to mention this to you, because there is a massive, massive amount of Muslims in the world today. And these countries that's going to come down against Israel hate Israel. They despise Israel. It's satanic inspired. And they're going to gather together. I know that this thing has not happened already. That battle has never taken place. So we know it's in the future. We know it's coming somewhere in the future. Here's what he gives us some thought on that when he says in verse number 8, after many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come unto the land that is brought back from the sword, and gathered out of the many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. One of the things I want to make mention there is you'll notice it says the latter years. We believe it's going to be in the latter times. We believe it's probably going to be in the near future, but in the latter, we know it's going to be in the latter times. Look at verse 16. He says, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days. So God is pinpointing the fact for us that this is going to happen in the latter days. It hasn't happened yet. This battle has never taken place, so we know it's going to take place in the latter days. Now, God did not pinpoint that for us, and I think there's a good reason why he does not pinpoint that for us. and shouldn't, because let's say this battle would happen before the rapture of the church. I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know when it's going to happen. But say it should happen, and he'd say, well, this battle is going to happen, and then the rapture, we'd be looking for the battle instead of Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of things going on before Jesus has come. You know, the battle in Afghanistan and the battle in Iraq and all of those things are happening before he comes. But I want you to understand something. There is not absolutely one thing, I think you know this, that has to happen biblically before Jesus Christ will come. Not one thing. You cannot look in the Bible and say, oh, well, this has to happen before Jesus Christ will come in the rapture. That is just not true. Jesus Christ could come this very moment, and all things would be just according as God said in his word. He could come any time. But we don't know a lot of times things that is going to happen before he comes, because he doesn't pinpoint that for us, and he doesn't let us know exactly when all of these things are going to take place. But that battle has to take place somewhere along the line. You know, if it did happen before the rapture, I'm not saying it will. Please don't go out and say I said that. But I said if it did, it's very possible it could happen before the rapture, and then that burning of the weapons for 7 years and the burying the bodies for 7 months. It's going to be such a massive destruction of humans and beasts. It's going to take 7 months to bury the bodies upon there from the hills of Israel. And so again, we don't know. Will it happen after the rapture? Now listen to me. I'm asking the question, not telling you. You understand? Will it happen after the rapture? See, there's a possibility, okay? There's a possibility there could be a gap between the actual rapture and the actual beginning of the tribulation period. There could be. The reason I'm saying that is I always take the tribulation period begins when the Antichrist signs a treaty with Israel, the seven-year treaty with Israel. And then we have the 7 years of tribulation. Is there a gap in between? I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm just saying to you, there could be a gap in between that until the Antichrist sets all these things up. See, once that group of people is destroyed, that his opposing forces are gone. And it would be a wonderful time for the Antichrist to step in and say, now, you know, I'm in leadership. I have control of all of this. He would not have these enemies from other sources, and I'm going to sign a treaty with Israel, and you're going to be safe, and all of those lies that he's going to tell. So again, please, I'm not trying to place it. I can't place it. I don't know when this battle is going to take place, but it is going to take place, and it's going to be a horrible, horrible thing. And so will it take place somewhere in between there? Will it take place during the tribulation period? See, when you start trying to place it, you begin to run into problems in the tribulation period. If it begins in the tribulation period, what are you going to do with the 7 years? What are you going to, you know, what are you going to do with the 7 years that they burn weapons? And when they're running the last half of the tribulation period, they're leaving Israel and running to the hiding place that God had made for them. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason I'm saying that, God doesn't want us to pinpoint it, but he wants us to believe it. He wants us to know it's going to happen, and he sure gives us a tremendous description of this. And so we do know this. I'll just give you this because time's up. If you read through this portion of Scripture in chapter 38, you'll find that it's a time when Israel is dwelling safely. When they go up against Israel, they are dwelling safely. Unwalled villages, the Bible says. And they dwell safely. More than once, three or four times, it talks about how they're dwelling safely when this group of coalition countries come in against them. And they know they're unprepared. So when is that? I don't know for sure, but I just want you to know everything is lining up. And we're seeing it today. Iran is dangerous business, and it's dangerous against the United States of America. I know Israel's not going to be completely destroyed. I don't know about America. Father, thank you again today for your grace and goodness, kindness. Lord, thank you for just the warnings, Lord, that you put in your Bible. Thank you for them, and help us, Lord, to be diligent and just get folks saved and bring them to Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.